Ready to proceed with the next appeal. It's William Jenkins versus Carl Nell. Brent Savage is here for appellant Jenkins. Thomas Christopher is here for appellee Nell. And Mr. Savage, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. I represent Billy Jenkins, whose case was thrown out of the district court on summary judgment. It's what would commonly be called a reverse discrimination case. It is a case where Mr. Jenkins said he was fired improperly because he was targeted as a white person by the defendant in the case, Carl Nell, who's head of the crane operations here in Savannah. There are two reasons that the court principally threw us out. One is that we had no comparators, they said. We have pointed to four comparators, and I'd like to discuss those to start with, who, because we believe they are Black, were treated very differently than Billy Jenkins. Billy Jenkins had a very good record as a crane operator before the afternoon of August 8th, when, against port rules, Carl Nell sought him out, got in his face, and told him he better not go to HR, which is against their rules. In this decision, the court really doesn't discuss what the port itself says was wrong with what Carl Nell did in this case, which is to confront a man who says that he had HR in his pocket, who was alerted to Billy Jenkins going to human resources.
Let me just ask you this question.
Sure.
He was fired for insubordination.
Right. They've morphed their story. He was fired because he refused to leave. Once they found out that he left within 4 to 5 minutes of the time that they had this discussion where Nell confronted him, he was out the gate by 6:05. The fight took place right before 6 o'clock there. Then they morphed it into insubordination. And that is very suspect here.
Let me ask the question, Mr.
Sure. Scott.
In any event, insubordination is the reason that was given for his termination, right?
No.
It was not.
If you look at Ms. Chisholm's testimony, who fired him in this case on the 11th of August, she said he was fired for failing to follow orders to leave the premises. She fired him. It's only after we get into the case with really good lawyers that they start to morph into this insubordination thing.
All right. So my question is, were any of the comparators, were they subject to the same discipline?
They are all subject, and all were given a pass, these four Black comparators, for Schedule A violations. That's the most serious violations of the port. So the common denominator is Schedule A violations.
All right. I don't want you to spend all of your time on this issue, but okay. It just seems to me that the comparators did not engage in the same basic misconduct as alleged as to Mr. Jenkins. Am I wrong about that?
With all due respect, I think you are. You certainly are taking the tack that Judge Moore took in the case. But my point is, the Schedule A violations are the only thing that can get you fired. Judge Moore made a big distinction between Randy Jones. The reports are a little rough. So some of the language that's in the brief is a little rough. Randy Jones is a Black operator who threatened to take Carl Nell outside the gate and, quote unquote, beat his ass. That's a Schedule A violation. So why is he not a good comparator when they say we refused a direct order to leave right away? And that's why we were fired. Why is that not a good comparator? The second comparator is a Black operator who's still with them, Brian Jackson, who is a good guy, who told HR that Carl Nell was going around saying that he was going to pencil whip anybody who went to HR, that he was like an 18-wheeler, that he would back over you and then back over you again if you dared go to human resources. And that if you go to the White House, which is where HR is, I'm going to get your job. That's what Nell said in these cases. Those type of statements go to whether or not the thing that they come up with in the end is a pretext. I mean, this is hard. I wish it were different. It kind of makes you sick at your stomach that we haven't advanced any better, that these racial issues but they got to be dealt with courts, and rather than the stuff that we're seeing now with the Ahmaud Arbery case. The courts have to give people access to air their grievances in these cases. That with Brian Jackson, who goes in there and they're saying he's insubordinate, Billy Jenkins, Brian Jackson is saying that this guy is saying, I'm going to throw guys under the bus. Nell says, I don't remember ever saying that. So you either have to say that Brian Jackson is telling the truth or he's not telling the truth. If he's not telling if he's telling the truth, Carl Nell should be gone. I mean, the head of HR, Lisa Altman, says, you know, this is horrendous if you believe these affidavits, Mr. Savage, that you put in from these white operators. When we start into this thing, there are 18 white operators who are gone. Now, some retired, and there were more white operators to start with. There's one black operator who is gone. It's a fluid thing, but this is when we were litigating the case. A guy named Ed Smith, he took the house off of a ship, unfortunately. And I'm sure he's got many merits. But instead of getting him, the black operator, Ed Smith, Nell is on record in the affidavits here saying, if Ed Smith had just agreed to change his testimony, he would still have a job, but he wouldn't listen to me on these things. So when it's a black operator, if you're looking at comparators, he goes to them, says, change your testimony, change what really happened, and you'll preserve your job. With Billy Jenkins, see, what they did is they assumed that Jenkins didn't leave. Well, he left right away. So then when Chisholm comes in and says, I fired him for failing to obey a direct order, you've got guys who they rely on. Dan Rohde, who's head of the container operations out there, said, it seems to me it was pretty reasonable that he left quickly. So they morph the story. And that's a key indicator of whether these ideas that they're giving you are pretextual in this case. You know, the last comparator in this case.
So moving from the issue, sure, with regard to whether or not he has proper comparators. So what can you tell us to convince us that summary judgment was inappropriate, given, as you indicate in your brief, a convincing mosaic of discrimination?
Well, you know, you just have this new Lewis case where a lady was fired, black lady, from Union City Police Department. And the court reversed the district court's grant of summary judgment to Union City, saying, you know, these are subtle things with the mosaic here of facts. I mean, this is an unbelievable record. I'm embarrassed to be in the state of Georgia, which sanctions in the record where a former employee, Taisha Randolph, who's an African-American, said when she started with him, another African-American, he says to her, we blacks got to stick together. This is a racist department in this case. And Billy Jenkins, who, you know, I used to think we treated veterans pretty well, but I've disabused me of that. He's got 3 years in Afghanistan, 3 years in Iraq, a two-year-old kid, and he's gone in this case from a guy who says that we blacks got to stick together. We whites shouldn't stick together. We blacks shouldn't stick together. This case needs to go to a jury. I don't know how I got in, but a long time ago, I went to the University of Virginia. So I try to read stuff that Thomas Jefferson wrote. He wrote to Thomas Paine. He said, the only way to hold the government accountable for what they should do in jury trials is to have jury trials to hold them accountable for what the Constitution says they got to do. And this whole idea that jury trials are going is very scary to me. All these inferences that were in the case. In this case, if you look at Lewis as kind of our blueprint, where the lady was fired when she was on permanent leave, the court went to these indicias. it said that there was suspicious timing in her firing. She was fired about 2 weeks after they gave her an unlimited leave. Carl Nell does not want people to go to HR on him. He was tipped off, which the port itself says, you know, he's been fired for insubordination. Insubordination would be violating a proper order. The port itself, Lisa Altman says, if you agree, if I listen to what you say, Savage, that he's saying, I'm going to get people to go to the White House. I'm going to be vindictive to these people. We never should have tipped them off. Nell goes into the break room, gets right in Billy Jenkins's face and said, you better get your facts straight and you better not, when you go to HR. He never should have known he was going to HR. This thing is out of control down there. And it's certainly with this mosaic of circumstantial evidence, there's suspicious timing. He wants to cut Billy Jenkins off. And he did a great job of it because he changed the whole dynamic from where they start on the wrong track is about 6 months earlier, where Jenkins says, I had a hard landing. Hard landings are when these 80,000 pound containers are landed on trailers, the jockey truck drivers can't get out and they get hurt. Billy Jenkins said, I had a hard landing on this stuff. Nell didn't like that at all. So he sends three surrogates, Philip Wong and Matt Sturrett, to Nell and says, you better change your statement on the official police report. Nell's whole agenda, as he says to Taisha Randolph, who signed an affidavit for us, is I can't control these white operators. They're racists. If the white operators and some black operators have a meeting where they're going to, of retirees, he calls it a Ku Klux Klan meeting. We've got to be better than this. This mosaic that's put together, they have ambiguous statements on why they fired him. They changed their statement on why they fired him. The person who fires him is Carl Nell. And he's involved in the firing. If you look at Tanya Chisholm, who is an African-American HR person, she says, Nell fired him and we fired him for disobeying a direct order. Well, the problem is none of them knew that he had in fact left the premises within 6 or 7 minutes.
All right, Mr. Savage, we have your argument and you reserve some time. Let's hear from Mr. Christopher.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Tom Christopher. I'm representing the individual Carl Nell, who is the defendant appellee in this case. Mr. Nell was one of seven Georgia Ports Authority managers who concluded that Billy Jenkins had acted inappropriately in an insubordinate fashion and that termination was the appropriate remedy.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it what Mr. Savage was referring to, that he was let go by Ms. Chisholm for failing to leave the premises? Was that not the initial reason that he was let go? Is that not what the record shows?
He was let go for his behavior on the occasion when he was told to leave. You can put it several ways. I mean, what happened was that he was told to leave. He said, I'm not going anywhere. He was for the second time instructed by the department manager, who was several layers of management above him, to leave. He said, I'm not going anywhere. He was continuing to, and this was all in the middle of the crane department building in front of other employees, other managers. At the time that Nell tells him, well, you know, we'll see you in HR in the morning, because Nell was going to deal with his discipline at that point. And as of the time Nell left the building and left Georgia Ports, Mr. Jenkins was still defying the department manager. You can say at some point.
Counsel, it's either a yes or a no. Was that the initial reason that he was let go? Was that he refused to leave the premises? It's either yes or no.
It's the same thing. It is yes, it is, because he
defied. Isn't there a factual dispute as to whether or not he did in fact leave the premises?
Your Honor, there is not. He, in the first place, I mean, refusing to leave the premises and insubordination are the same thing. But
well, it's not insubordination. It's not insubordination if he in fact didn't leave the premises, correct?
No, if he defies his manager for a period of time, tells him he's not going to do what he was told to do, is continuing to defy his manager while that manager
did he or did he not leave the premises on the day that he was instructed to?
Oh, he certainly left on the day he was instructed to, not before his supervisor left the premises, not before he made a speech to his fellow employees about how this was poisoning the department, not before he went outside, talked with some of his other co-workers about the situation, then came back inside. Then another employee came back inside and Mr. Jenkins was still there. And following all that, he did leave the premises. He was not terminated for moving too slowly. He was terminated because he was told to leave. He said he was not going to do it. While the manager was there, he was refusing to do it. And we would submit that that is a reasonable cause for an employer to terminate an employee. Let me ask you this question,
Mr. Christopher. When I look at this record, there is evidence that Randy Jones, an African-American employee, also engaged in a Rule A violation like Mr. Jenkins, but remained employed. There is in this record at least 18 white crane operators who retired or resigned or transferred from the department since Mr. Nell took over as their supervisor. We've got some comments in the record that are attributable to Mr. Nell that could reasonably be construed as racially biased comments about white crane operators. And it also appears that there are different reasons here for terminating Mr. Jenkins. And so why couldn't a jury take all of these facts into consideration in determining that there was discrimination on the basis of Mr. Jenkins' race?
If I could take those points one at a time, Your Honor. With regard to the whites departing, the first thing I should say is that the references to only one African-American employee being terminated by Mr. Jenkins is incorrect. I'm sure it's inadvertent, counsel overlooked paragraph 10 of Mr. Nell's affidavit, in which he indicated at that time four African-Americans had been terminated. There is no indication as to why the 18 white employees left. It's clear that most of them were retiring. Retiring is not such a bad thing, at least from my perspective. It's certainly not, there's certainly no indication that it is a negative factor, and there was no effort here to make a statistically significant showing of any kind. We don't know how many employees there were. There was no indication of why these people left. There's no indication of where they were, how close they were to retirement, any what the statistics were, or any of those things. With regard to the different reasons, as I say, as far as the port's concerned, it's the same thing. I mean, he was told to leave. He didn't leave for a while. The argument of the plaintiff was that he was not insubordinate long enough, in effect. But telling your supervisor twice that you're not going to leave is A, refusing to leave, and it is B, insubordination, and they're basically the same thing. And the it's slicing it, I think, way too close to say that these are different comments at all. It has been clear from the beginning that his, and throughout the record, that his behavior on this occasion was the reason for his termination. With regard to the comments, the comments that were made were that Mr. Nell suspected certain people of being biased. That is not an indication of racial prejudice. All of us have said that about some people at some times. The courts say that, people who file charges say that, Mr. Jenkins has said that. And in any event, the comments were made, well, they were reported, first of all, by Taisha Randolph, who was one of the African Americans who were terminated from the department that was overlooked. Ms. Randolph wasn't even there when Mr. Nell was there. He was not required to go into this job with the idea that the world was a perfect place and there weren't any people who were racially biased out there. But he did not make any class-based comments. There's no evidence that he said all whites were bad or all whites were prejudiced or all the whites in the department were prejudiced or anything of that nature. So we don't think that the comments are probative. With regard, oh, by the way, I should point out that there was reference to Mr. Jenkins' overseas service. The record's clear, Mr. Jenkins has never been in the United States military. With regard to the I'm sorry, Aaron.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, with regard to the comparators,
Before you get to the comparators, you know, I went through a litany of facts that a jury could take into consideration in determining that Mr. Jenkins was subject to discrimination. And you gave an explanation, but it sounds more like a closing argument. Why couldn't a jury come to a contrary conclusion?
Because the facts are, and it's undisputed what Mr. Jenkins did. It was shown by written statements provided by managers. It was, he has admitted what he did. So what he did is clear. The fact that what he did is a reasonable ground for termination. Both the terms insubordination and refusing to leave are talking about exactly the same thing. We would submit it's not a jury question as to which words in the particular rule were selected at a particular time. It was perfectly reasonable for Georgia Ports to say that he did not leave when he was told to leave, and that's why he was fired. With regard to the comparator issue, one individual referred to was Ed Smith. He was fired. Several other African-American individuals were fired. With regard to Randy Jones, he was not accused of doing the same thing. And in fact, the situation is a great contrast. Number one, there's no evidence that it was Mr. Nell who made the decision not to fire him. The matter was presented to Mr. Nell's boss. Mr. Jones testified that Mr. Nell proposed that he be fired and that his boss overruled him. A second major distinction is that Mr. Jones' comment, which obviously was inappropriate, he testified without contradiction that it was a joke, that he was, quote, talking trash. Mr. Jenkins hasn't claimed that he was joking. When Mr. Jones made his comment, or actually before he made the comment, Mr. Nell instructed him to come to leave the meeting and come with him. Mr. Jones immediately complied. He went where he was instructed. He met with Mr. Nell's Caucasian boss, who, according to Mr. Jones, contradicted the Mr. Nell wanted to do and said he wasn't going to fire him. Mr. Jones was instructed to return to the meeting and apologize. Mr. Jones immediately did so, whereas Mr. Jenkins has never apologized or admitted error or admitted he did anything wrong. Whatever one may think of those two situations, they are materially different. Mr. Nell's boss was entitled to take a different opinion. And in fact, Mr. Nell's boss is not the one accused of racial discrimination here. So there's not even any evidence that Mr. Nell made the decision that was at issue. The other comparators are even less materially the same as Mr. Jones. With regard to Mr. Jackson, he went to HR, made a complaint, considered it resolved, and left. There's no evidence that Mr. Nell even knew that he was there or knew what he said or made any decision concerning him. That in no way shows that Mr. Nell was engaging in racial discrimination when he participated with a number of other managers taking action against the plaintiff. The fact of the matter is that there is no evidence that any individual has ever done what Mr. Nell had to endure with Mr. Jenkins, much less get away with it, which is what Mr. Jenkins's claim should have happened. There was undisputed evidence that Mr. Jenkins did exactly what he was accused of doing. A variety of people considered the circumstances and concluded that that termination was appropriate. This court has held it doesn't sit as a super personnel board to second guess decisions and to issue clemency in effect when an individual has committed an offense. And in fact, here there was no remorse by the individual. He has yet to acknowledge that he did anything wrong. And yet we're asked to conclude that Mr. Nell should have contradicted his fellow managers and said that this guy should be put right back in the job where he would obviously be a very disruptive force. There was also no showing of pretext. I understand that the court has raised some of the issues regarding that. But as I said, the charges against the plaintiff were that it was all under the same rule. He was referring to exactly the same conduct that was done wrong. There was no contradiction in the evidence as to what he actually did. Mr. Nell was, we would suggest, permitted to join with other individuals to take a tough line on somebody who clearly was defying management, and that it was within the within his right to do so. There was some reference to bullying statements by Mr. Nell, that he was vindictive. Those arguments are in fact counterproductive. If Mr. Nell was vindictive and didn't like having his authority questioned, that would suggest that he got really mad when his authority was questioned, rather than that he held it against Mr. Jenkins as to what his race was.
All right. Well, we've allowed you to go on, Mr. Christopher. I think we have your argument.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And Mr. Savage, you have reserved some time for rebuttal.
Yes, sir. I'll be quick and I'll hit what I've marked down as 8 quick points. Mr. Christopher makes a point that this was reviewed by upper management. Of those people that reviewed it, 2 reviewed it on appeal after he was fired. Billy Jenkins was never given a chance to say his side of the story before he got fired by Ms. Chisholm on the morning of the 11th. Of those people that reviewed it, his upper management idea, 1 is Carl Nell and 4 are in the HR department. Nell has gone on record as saying he has HR in his pocket and he will know if you go to HR before you get out of there, and he is going to get your job if you dare go to HR. So that's the management. The concept that his behavior was bad in the break room up there, Lise Altman is head of HR. She is saying that if we tipped off Carl Nell that he was going to HR, that we know that he's vindictive. He admits to that, Nell, that he's vindictive. This never should have happened, and that was outrageous behavior on our part. So that's what Mr. Christopher is saying. Well, he's acts so crazy. They only moved this that he didn't leave when they didn't. They never checked the gate, and you have to go in and out of gate. He was out of there by 6:05 on the gate. So he left. That's when they morphed their stories. He said, well, it's maybe it's inadvertent with Carl Nell that he said 4 people left. Carl Nell, for a year when I took his deposition in various cases, Mr. Christopher and I are out there a lot. I have 80 cases out there. Carl Nell said, I never knew he was going to HR, and then changed his testimony. So Carl Nell's credibility that I did know he was going out there when I confronted him. As to this other comparator, there's no good comparators. Michael Saucy heard a guy I represent, a guy by the name of Mr. Smalls. He files a police report where he lies that he never took his crane over the ship and then goes back. And Carl Nell knows this, that he did take the crane over the ship and hurt Smalls. And he's still working there. That's a Schedule A violation. That everybody agrees that Billy acted bad. Philip Wong, who transferred out of there, they can't stand working in this environment. Philip Wong says, I saw him in that break room. Billy didn't act badly at any point. This thing that this is a joke that I'm going to take you outside, and you know, it depends on which story you listen to, beat the hell out of you or whatever it is. That's not what Brannon and some of these guys say. It wasn't a joke. And the thing, he was a contract employee. He served 3 years in Afghanistan, 3 years in Iraq, putting out fires at bases when rockets would come in. Tom, and I think he just misspoke, has said that Taisha Randolph wasn't even there. The woman who says that he told me as a new Black there, she worked for him. She was there. He told her, we Blacks got to stick together on this thing. Look, thank you for your time, and we'll leave it with you. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Savage and Mr. Christopher.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this court will be in recess for 10 minutes.
I've never been before a celebrity judge.
Which one?
Well, I'm not going to say. Y'all take care.